My Mother, The Person and the Patient is an original podcast written and hosted by me, Fortu Mukuso. This podcast is about my mother, Timira Abdussamid Muhammad, Ayeye we call her, and that's the Somali word for grandmother, and her great-grandchildren call her Ayeye too. And that is their way of saying great-grandmother. It's fitting that this is the final episode of this podcast, My Mother, The Person and the Patient, that I am at a place where I am comfortable and confident in my ability to be a caregiver to my mother. That doesn't mean the caregiving aspect of my relationship with my mother is void of challenges or I conquered it and I don't face any difficulties at all. Far from it. I am still facing those challenges, whether it's agencies that are canceling my services when I really need the support, the stress and challenges that come with in the morning trying to get to work on time and at the same time make sure my mother's morning routine had been followed, trying to find a respite care or somebody to stay with my mother if I wanted to do something as simple as going to the store to pick up her prescription, meeting a friend for coffee, going to work, going out to see a movie, or anything in between. As long as I am not in my house, I need support, and my ability to do anything from going to work to getting groceries to getting prescriptions and meeting friends for some activity, whether it's a coffee or dinner, depends on my ability to make sure somebody else who is able and willing to provide the care for my mother is there in my house. And those people are in combination of people I pay out of pocket and services provided to me by the long-term care. But what I'm saying in this episode, which is the season finale of the podcast, My Mother, The Person and the Patient, is that I feel like I have the experience to deal with whatever that comes my way. And it helps that my mother had been and is for the last few months in a stable place where it feels like she had reached at a place where I am not getting a whole lot of new conditions. We plateaued, if you will. Now she's not mobile. She depends on somebody 100%. She lost her ability to communicate in a clear way. She still speaks. She still says some words, but she doesn't have a communication and back and forth discussion that is meaningful. She doesn't have that. So, and she can't feed herself. She still has a good appetite. She will still eat, even though she's picky when she eats. But at the same time, she cannot feed herself. You can put her favorite dish in front of her, but she wouldn't know whether she should eat that or she should dump it on the floor or let it sit there or feed it to her baby doll. She doesn't really know what the difference is. So the combination of where my mother is in this plateaued position where she is not developing new and alarming conditions and my long drawn out caregiving practices that lasted over 12 years, I am at a place where I do not panic when I face some challenges. I do not fall apart when I face some challenges. And I have enough skills in my toolbox where I could say, okay, this is what's going on, and this is how we are going to approach it. Just like how my mother, when she was a young military wife, had reached a place where she was still facing some difficulties, but felt she was home. This was a place and a time and a situation where she can call home. So in my place as being a caregiver to my mother, now I have that confidence about me to say, I got, because I know anything that I face today is not going to be any worse than what I'd faced a year ago or 2 years ago or a month ago or 2 months ago or a week ago or 2 weeks ago. That's where I am, and that's where I'm confident being. And accepting that, understanding that, appreciating the skills that are in my toolbox that I could go back to and use it against whatever challenge that come my way has made all the difference. When you listen to how we arrived at my mother's diagnosis and what followed, it's so easy to see her just as the patient, to see her as nothing more than the disease that reduced her to shell of her old self. But I want to also to tell you about my mother, the person, the fierce woman that told her stories unapologetically, celebrating the beautiful parts and harsh realities equally. I want to share with you the stories she told us about her life as a girl growing up in a small village, the tales that marked her adulthood. I want to share with you all her losses and the ultimate winnings. The following chapter is one of those stories reconstructed from my childhood memory. I'm sorry. Timmy returned to her husband as soon as the elders settled restitution and took their leave. For what? Mohammed asked. Timmy looked at his face closely. Did he not have questions? She thought to herself. The way I embarrassed you publicly. Me? Embarrassed? Timira wasn't sure if that was a joke or a question, but she went along with the former. I should have said thank you for standing up for me. She laughed, infused the joy within her into the moment. I did what I had to do. He took her hand, just like you did what you had to do. Those 6 words, I did what I had to do, lifted her higher than ever. Not only did she put Layla in the hospital with broken bones and battered body, but her husband stood by her without question, without complaint. Thank you, she responded. No thanks are required. It's my responsibility, he said. He was quiet for a minute. The military is giving me 3 days off. He looked at her when he said that. Use the time to rest. In those 3 days, Mohammed took the children to and from school and the mess hall for their meals. Do you want me to take them to wash? He asked her when he returned with the children from their supper that first night and brought her a meal. No, she didn't want to send her husband to the scene of her crime, to expose him to the whispering woman she dared not. Are you sure? He sounded surprised. But Timira was more than sure. I can clean them here. She took a wet towel and wiped the children before she sent them to bed. As the days passed, Timira felt a quiet sense of satisfaction blooming within her. Despite the weight of the recent events, she couldn't help but feel a deep happiness knowing that she had stood her ground and maintained her husband's support. On the fourth day, when Timira finally emerged from the confines of her home, the sun hung low in the sky, casting long shadows over the parched ground. She set about her task with a newfound determination, the weight of her actions lending her steps a resolute grace. Refilling the firewood for the bread oven was a simple chore, but each log she placed crackled and sparked with the warmth of her defiance. Organizing the scattered school supplies, Timiro meticulously arranged the books and pencils, her hands moving with purpose. Each piece she put in place felt like a small victory, a testament to her resilience in adversity. The children would return to use these the following day, and she wanted to ensure their learning environment remained undisturbed, a sanctuary. In the quiet of the afternoon, with the soft rustle of the wind whispering through the parched grass, Timiro found solace in the simplicity of her tasks. A week passed since the confrontation when Timiro saw Layla approaching the dining area. Layla's left arm was in a cast and a sling, her features still marked by the faint remnants of the scratched Timiro's nails left behind. Timiro steeled herself for what was to come. As Layla made her way through the bustling hall, flanked by two of her friends, a palpable silence settled around them. The tension in the air was thick and suffocating as the two women stood mere feet apart, their shared history of conflict and resentment simmering beneath the surface. Timira's hands clenched into tight fists at her sides, her mind racing with a flood of unspoken words. Layla passed by her, her friends casting wary glances in Timira's direction. That surprised Timiro. She had expected for Layla to say something, but Layla was so calm. Timiro turned her gaze away, her thoughts swirling. As the days melted into weeks, an unexpected shift began to unfold between Layla and Timiro. The unspoken truce reached its highest when Halima, one of Layla's closest friends standing by the chore board, spoke to Timiro directly. "How are you, Timiro?" Halima asked. Timiro turned to her with a start. Did the woman speak to her, or did she imagine the words? "You and I are working together this week," Halima spoke loudly. "Do you see? It's right here on the board." She exaggerated as if she were excited to work with Timiro. No one had ever worked or even offered to work with her. Was this a trap, a way to get back at her? Timiro didn't know, and that worried her. But soon, her fears dissipated as Layla continued to include Timiro in their working groups for the communal chores. Subtle but significant gesture that hinted at the tenuous bridge being built between them. As they worked side by side, the tension that once crackled between them diminished, replaced by a cautious but a sense of understanding. Timiro was welcomed into the fold, her contribution acknowledged with nods of appreciation and the occasional small smile from Layla or one of the other women. Timiro found solace in the simple rhythm of their shared labor as they worked. Though their conversations remained sparse, there was a comfort in the small gestures punctuating their days. She felt a sense of quiet gratitude as the weeks passed. "A few of us are going to the market on Friday." Halima took a large gulp of her water. This was their first break of the day as they cleaned the slaughterhouse. "Would you like to join us?" "Me?" Timiro scanned the area behind her to make sure the woman was addressing her. "To the market?" To be invited to the market was on a different level of connection. Was she ready for that? She needed time to think. "Let me ask my husband if he could watch the children." "Bring the children." Halima sounded too eager to include Timiro. "I'm bringing mine and so is Layla." "Oh, Layla is coming too?" That question escaped her lips without her intention to speak it aloud. When Timiro sat across from her husband at their table that night, her head swam with conflicting thoughts. "They want me to go to the market with them." "Go with them?" Mohammed sounded happy. "Why?" Timiro put her elbows on the table and moved closer. Did he not realize she didn't trust them and be with them outside the protection of the base? The captain told me today he had a meeting with the woman yesterday, Mohammed said. He demanded that they treat you like an equal. Hearing that, all their actions made sense. They were made to befriend her, but that didn't bother Timiro. No matter how it came, she welcomed the reprieve brought on by the captain's actions. Thank you, she said. As the time marched forward, Timiro felt a sense of belonging settle within her, transforming the once hostile city into a place she dared to call home. The memories of turbulent childhood and the harrowing experiences that had threatened to consume her now faded into the background. With Layla and the other woman by her side, Timiro's forays into the bustling market became more frequent, her trepidation gradually replaced by quiet confidence. In the heart of the market, surrounded by freshly baked bread mingled with the aroma of the different spices sold there, Timiro allowed herself to believe that she had finally found a safe place to call her own. As she navigated the pathways, the vendors' calls and the crowd's lively chatter became a familiar melody, weaving itself into the fabric of her daily life. She formed tentative friendships with some of the market vendors, their warm smiles and kind gestures offering a sense of familiarity that she had long craved. The city that had once been a source of turmoil and hardship now held the promise of future filled with hope and the potential for new beginnings. Six months from the day of the epic fight, Timiro held a sight she never expected to appear before her. She stood frozen in the doorway of her house, her eyes fixed on the familiar faces of her now grown children, Amina and Ibrahim, standing just on the other side of the threshold. Disbelief and joy mingled in her gaze. Soon, the reality of their presence sank in, thawing the frozen depth of her heart that had long been deprived of the love and the warmth that could only exist between a mother and a child. Her limbs, heavy with the weight of years spent apart, trembled with delight and nervousness. "How did you get here?" Timiro managed to utter as she struggled to comprehend the miracle unfolding before her eyes. "Adher Mohammed sent for us," Ibrahim pointed at her husband. Timira's gaze shifted. As she peered past her children, she saw Mohammed standing in the shadows, his presence a testament to the depth of his compassion and devotion. "How did you do that?" "Your father told me Hassan passed away when he was here last, so I asked for his help to connect me with the children." The news of her ex-husband's passing hit her with a sudden wave of relief that the shadows of his threat no longer loomed over their lives. Memories of Hassan's cruel ultimatum resurfaced, the echoes of his threat reverberating through her mind. "Thank you so much," she whispered, the words catching in her throat. She couldn't help but marvel at the profound length Mohammed had gone to reunite her fractured family. Amina's soft voice cut through, her words carrying a poignant tenderness. "We missed you so much." Tears welled in Timira's eyes as she took a hesitant step forward, her arms outstretched to her children to make up for all the lost years and missed moments. In that fleeting second, Timira knew that she had finally found the true meaning of home, a place where love knew no bounds, where the resilience of the human spirit triumphed over all adversity. As she held them close, she felt the years of separation melt away. replaced by a sense of unyielding connection. The weight of regret and longing lifted from her shoulders, and she knew that her family had been made whole once more. Timur's gaze found her husband, whose eyes shimmered with quiet understanding and unspoken assurances. She saw a reflection of his enduring love in his selfless act of bringing her children back to her. Timur realized that she discovered a sanctuary in her husband, an angel who had conjured the powers of love and devotion. Alhamdulillah, she said aloud. Alhamdulillah, Muhammad, Amina, and Ibrahim said in unison. The end. This has been the last episode of My Mother, the Person, and the Patient, a podcast that tells my mother's story as the person before the diagnosis and as the patient after diagnosis with Alzheimer's. Entire season, all 45 episodes can be downloaded and listened to in Apple Podcast, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast. Please remember to listen, follow, and share. And join me on November 27th at the beginning of brand new podcast that tells the story of young girls that are kidnapped by radicals. Thank you.